getting older, and I'm drinking. Yesterday I went to the doctor, and I have a exam because I have arthritis, and they found that I'm getting smaller. So I will take several pictures with all of you, okay, so I will have some souvenir. My father died last year, and he was like this. I used to remember that he was very tall. But let me get into the topic. There was this person, this father was reading the paper. You know, he loved to read the paper. Most of the parents love to read the papers. But his son was running around, and dad, let's go outside, let's go and play, let's throw some ball. He said, in a little while. And the kid was saying, please, let's go and play. The weather is nice. So finally, from the newspaper, he saw an ad about traveling, and was the world was there. So he took the page of the paper, he parted in several pieces, and he said to his son, fix the world, and when we're ready, we go and play outside. Smart guy. About 3 minutes later, the kid said, Dad, here's the world. So he looked down, and here was the world. He said, how did you do it so fast? Easy. He said, look, he turned the page and was a traveling agent. He said, look, I fixed the man, and the world was fixed by himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. You are our king, our doctor. You are our creator. We thank you because we are all together, not by accident, but an appointment. We thank you because you allow us to come to you today and help us to open our mind and open our thought and help us to learn from today. In Yeshua's name, amen. In the beginning, God created a man. And he was very tall. He was a very nice guy. Also, he created his wife. Beautiful lady. Thank you. And something happened. Thank you. Something happened. They were thrown out of their home. But not only they were asked to leave their home, several changes happened in their life. Let me, help me out, and somebody please can read Luke 5. Before we go on to that, let's read Genesis 5:3. And Genesis 5:3 said the following. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. Remember that recently God had created men in his image and his likeness. They're no longer true. Now, the man was created on Adam's image and his own likeness. What does it mean? In order for us to understand a little better, I want for you to go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And said, and Yeshua grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. And Yeshua growth physically, social, emotional, and spiritual. And Yeshua grew in grace with men, in grace with God, and in maturity. So, something happened when men left the Garden of Eden. About 40 years ago, something happened when I left Chile. 2 years ago, when I left California and I went to Washington, something happened in my life. I become aware they have arthritis. I become very depressed because I left behind my brother, my sister, my friends, my soccer team. So I was affected socially. The weather affected me physically. And because I didn't have people that I love, I was affected emotionally. And having a new congregation, it was affecting me also spiritually. Every change or every move or everything happening in our life is affecting us directly. When Adam and Eve left, abandoned the Garden of Eden, they changed. They changed so much that there are several theories. Some Christian denomination, they call the original sin. The original sin had affected the rest of the humanity. Other religion, like the Jewish religion, they don't believe in the original sin, but they recognize there was a big effect in human life then. I don't know what you believe. We are not going to talk about that today. What I would like to address today is, what are you doing here? Because usually, we start coming because we found the messianic movement to be attractive, to be fun, to dance. A new point of view of the Bible, which everything is true. But a lot of time we want to enrich ourselves mentally. We don't want to go to what is our goal in life. Our goal in life we find in John, the book of John, verse 3:7. Remember that? It said, "And you will be born again." What do you mean, born again? Do I need to go back to my mother's womb? No. No, we cannot do that. But we need to born again. What does it mean? Oh, from my point of view, to born again means we need to change. We need to change physically, socially, mentally, or emotionally, and spiritually. We need to change. But what is our model? We go back to Luke 2:52, and Yeshua, he's my model. Yeshua grew physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually. I can follow any leader. I can follow my own interpretation. I can follow several Bible commentary about what the Bible means. Or what does it mean? Or what is the interpretation? However, the Bible had only one model to follow. And that's Yeshua. So how was Yeshua physically? What do I mean for physically? What do we mean by physically? Let me put here. In the way we look. In the way we dress. Right? Our health. Our height, what else? Our weight, what else? The way we dress and the way we look. Time, Okay, time, I will put it in another place, okay? But what we are physically, I told you, I used to be taller. So now I need some readjustment. What? Now they're talking about readjustment. Dr. Carlos is here. So we need to see life differently. See, sometimes we talk about to born again, and born again a lot of time only means to change belief. But I think born again means more than just enrich ourselves with new belief and with new knowledge. It means to enrich our life with new meaning, with new life interpretation, with new point of view, with new lifestyle. Let me tell you a couple of things. I asked several people, if you have $1 million, what do you do? Oh, I pay my house. Well, you know, Spanish people, I pay my house. I buy my green card. No, just kidding. Most of the people, they want to pay off debt, and which is okay. That's the way we were raised. That's the way Spanish people, we have been raised. Buy a house, pay off, have no debt, die happy. Grow up, find a job, take care of your job, and they will love you. So usually people come over here from whatever country, and we find a job, and we are loyal, we very, very few times we miss job. We are loyal to our boss, and we raise money, we pay our house. And then we die. So we are good citizens. Some day, somebody said, why don't you, instead to pay your house, invest the money, and the investment will pay off your debt. You will have money. You will send your children to university. They can be a lawyer, a doctor. Wait a minute. That's too complicated. That's not what they have been taught. You asking me to take too much responsibility. That would be usually the social part, okay? How we deal with life, how we deal with home, finances, family. I remember when I got married, I dreamed to have 2 kids. This is good. My wife dreamed to have 6. I said, how we're going to feed them? How we're going to educate them? After the second one, I got so scared we didn't have any more children. But that was the way I was raised. Now, as an older person, retired, God has blessed me financially, I said, why wouldn't you have more kids? He said, you didn't want to. But why blame me? Well, you know, this is part of our marriage life, social, okay? We always like to blame somebody else. Okay. So, and the way we are need to be reviewed. And the way we look at our body, our health. So that's why I'm not going to touch much about this, because in 2 weeks, we're going to have a series of lectures and classes about how to eat, how to become healthy, how to clean, how to use water, how to be clean outside and inside of your body. So some of those concepts are new. What do you mean, clean inside and outside? But it's true. Drink a lot of water. Don't drink Coke. You know, there are so many new things, but we need to have a new point of view about our body, because our body is what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. Temple. How good are we taking care of our temple? How are we taking care of our body, our health? You know, physically, a lot of our sinful life comes from the physical need. And sometimes because we don't take care of our body, we don't realize that our sinful nature or sinful tendency is taking a trick in our life. It's not, we might be very good socially, very mature and very God-like socially, but our body might be the one that is failing. I remember when I worked for over 15 years in drug and alcohol programs. I was a counselor, family counselor. And usually I ask a question, your addiction, what type is your addiction? Is physical, socially, emotional, or spiritual? Some people are addicted physically. They need in order to survive. So other people are socially addicted to a drugs because they live around people that they use. Sometimes they need some emotionally or mentally fix in order to feel good. You know, as a teenager or a young person, usually people drink in order to feel more handsome, more attractive, more forward, less shy. So they need a fix in order to have a better emotional well-being. Well, spiritually, some people are addictive because they have an emptiness and they're looking for something they can fix their emptiness. However, we have a role model in the Bible. Saying Yeshua grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and favor with men. So we need to born again and again. Again, because a lot of time we just begun our spiritual journey. But we need, again, to review and make an inventory of our life and say, how am I doing? I address the easy part physically. Let's talk about social part. Had to do with my culture. Had to do with my religion. Right? Had to do with my marriage, my family. What else? My work. See, we need to review and we need to replace certain social values. I told you 100 times that I love soccer, but let me tell you something that probably you don't know. In 1986, Argentina was a world champion. They defeat England. And what happened? That the ball was in the air, and the goalie came out, the goalie was about 6'2", in a very famous player, Maradona from Argentina, he's about 5'6". He jumped and with his hand hit the ball and score. The referee was supposed to disallow the goal, right? But he didn't see it. So Argentina was world champion with a goal with the hand, and he called that was God's hand. So he cheated. And what happened? The whole Latin American world, we say, oh, Argentina's champion, but how many people they really realize that was a shame that we score a goal with illegally? But never we talk about what was right, what was wrong. We talk about because we're smart. So my point is this. Culturally, what he did culturally was okay. Culturally, it was okay. It's allowed in a sport to cheat because you are better than the other one. You are more smart. See, culturally, he was a hero. In the value system of the rest of the world, he was a cheater. But do you see how culture influences people's behavior and support people's behavior? So how our culture, whatever your culture is, had affect your set of belief, your value system. How many of us, we're following Torah value system, not culturally value system? Let's talk about even religion. Let's talk about religion. When a Christian baby is born, who is born? Have you noticed that? Who is born? A sinner. Need to be baptized because was born a sinner. When a Jewish baby is born, who is born? Who is born? A prince of God, a child of God. See the difference? So how do you think it will affect them in the rest of their life? You're a sinner, so you had to do A, B, C, D, and all his life he is receiving that message. On the other hand, he's getting ready to be a witness of God. So see how religion affects our thinking and the way we look life and the way we look the world, our world. In Christianity, for instance, I have a long experience in Christianity. It's okay to be very, very, very poor because you have a chance to be in the world to come. Because it's very hard for a rich person to be in heaven. Because the Bible says so. So you are trained, indoctrinated to be poor. However, they forgot that Yeshua said, you always will have the poor people with you. So who are you? Oh, the people that have more than the rest. So God demands from us to have a little more than the rest because we are going to have other poor people that we need to help. If we don't have enough, and then we need to know why I don't have enough. God promised me, he said, God will bless those who will bless Israel. So what's going on that I don't have? God promised me, God, I have a receipt here. I come to claim my part. So, but maybe we're not ready. Probably it's true. Maybe we're not ready. So we need to come here and see what makes us not ready. Because maybe we don't know how to administer money. I remember reading this year several things in the newspaper, different part of the world. Individual got million of dollars in the lotto, or billion of peso, whatever. And 1 year or 2 years later, they are back in nothing. So what happened with that? They had the money. They prayed for money, maybe. They got the money. But they have the training. They don't have the thinking. They don't have the planning. They don't have a purpose. And very soon, they lost it. God wants all of us to grow up Yeshua. And the plan is for us to grow in a balanced way. Not unbalanced. I have some friends that the only thing that they they care is about in the way they look. And that's okay. They might look good or bad. I don't know. But also they need to develop socially and or emotionally. Let's talk about emotionally. This had to do with self-esteem. If you look any book, what self-esteem is. Remember what they say? Let me summarize. Self-esteem is what other people think of you. It's terrible, it's stupid. See, self-esteem is what I think about me, not what other people think about me, right? How other people perceive me. I know how they perceive me. It's not nice. But I need to look myself into some another mirror. I don't need my society. I don't need my culture. I don't need other people to look at me and evaluate me. I have another manual in how I need to look into. I need to enrich my life. I will have probably a personality problem in the way that I look myself, in the way that I feel about myself. It's very important. When I was in the seminary, my professor said that most of the students, when they start teaching, they get so much involved in the topic that they forgot and they talk too long. So he recommended about 40 to 45 minutes. One day he said, take one of this tic-tac, put it underneath your tongue, and it dissolves by itself in 40 minutes. One day I did that, and I started talking in 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, and people were falling asleep. And then I checked, and it was the button on my chair that I put. So today, I'm looking the clock, okay? So don't worry about it. The spiritual life had to do with what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose? What am I doing in this world? Why did I was born? My wife told me that I was born for her. That was nice and romantic, but then I discovered that was not my purpose in life. I have other purpose in life. What is your purpose in life? And how I can develop my spiritual life. Is to have knowledge about the Bible that will make me a mature spiritual being. I know a lot of people, they can quote the Bible from cover to cover and their life is not very nice. And Yeshua grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So what is our purpose in life? What made me come to this congregation? You know, a lot of times we come to this congregation, a lot of people, they come to this congregation because they want to convert us to something else. So after a while, they leave because either they got bored, they got tired, but it's not the purpose of our congregation. Our congregation is a workshop. It's a workshop where you are welcome to come with open mind and learn. Some of the things that you will learn here will be very easy to follow. Some other, they're not going to be that easy. Remember coming over here the first couple of years, I asked the rabbi, I said, You know what? What is it? When I came over here, I came with my puzzle fixed. And after two Shabbat, he did this to my puzzle. And I have been putting together ever since. So if you came with that idea, talk to me. I've been here for 15 years, and I'm still building and recreating my puzzle. But there is one puzzle that is very important. That's me. That's me. Because if I change a little bit, it will affect my wife a great deal. My children, a big deal. And my grandchildren will benefit if I change only a little bit. If I change even physically, you know, I remember about a year ago or so, my grandson, my older grandson, came over and said, "Dada," he jumped over me and I fell. I didn't have any strength. Now they can jump. They jump and they hit me. You know how grandparents are. So I'm a toy for them. But I can take it physically. Socially, yeah, you know, they love me, so they say. Especially on Hanukkah, you know, they expect every day a gift. Okay, but socially is affected, and emotionally and spiritually, we are affected. And we need to change our view of life. One thing, remember, our goal is to spend eternity with God. Are we ready for that? Are we doing any preparation for that? Let's talk about the easy part is the physical, I think, the easy part. But let's talk about socially. Let's talk about the marriage. Marriage. Think for a moment that you have one idea about physical aspect, social aspect, emotional aspect, and spiritual aspect. One day you meet this special person, okay? Another person, let me write it down here. Another person coming from out of nowhere, okay? And this person also brings a physical, social, mental, and spiritual aspect. When I married my wife, I said, I think we need to have a car. We were in college, so I think we need a car. And always I wanted a car. She said, sure, I think it's a good idea. Do you have money? No, but we can buy a car on credit. And she said, no, if we don't buy cash, we don't buy anything. I was coming from Chile, where we buy everything on credit. She was coming from Cuba, where to take credit was a sin. But I didn't know that before that I got married. I learned about that after I was married. Even my marriage certificate, I pay on credit. She didn't know that, but that's okay. See, when you meet another person and then you need to create, you will be creating a marriage with new values, with new value system, with new point of view, because you had to learn and bring the best of each one, not the worst. See, remember those romantic songs that said, you know, when I'm with you, I'm the king of the world, I'm the top of the world, okay, but after they marry, you made me feel so bad, No, I think that we need to bring the best of each other in marriage, and we need to create a new system with our children, so good, so beautiful, so positive. And we have a manual to to follow. The only thing that I know. The only problem is that a lot of people say that the Old Testament is not for us. Therefore, Torah is out. So how are we going to teach our children value? The value, the moral value that God wrote himself to us. And then he said, well, we need Jesus. We need only Jesus. However, they don't know that Yeshua followed Torah. And he was born and raised under the Torah light. That's why he was so amazing individual as we remember he is. Let's talk about family. How are we raising our children? Who are our children? Sometimes we say that the children are the monument of the parents. And a lot of times we say, well, you know, my son, well, or my daughter, you know, that, well, you know, America, let's blame Bush. Okay. Let's blame America. Let's blame our culture. There's something that did not click. So how are we raising our children? Are we raising our children as American? Are we raising our children as Hispanic? Are we raising our children Oriental? Are we raising our children Torah? How are we raising our children? How are we cultivating our home in our relationship? You know, one of the funny thing that for everything, there is an answer in Torah. Sometimes I would like to say, yeah, but no, Torah has the answer. That's why it's so uncomfortable to read Torah. Oh, I have a loophole here. Didn't work. Have an answer. At work. How people perceive us at work. As honest, hard workers. We come on time, we leave on time. I don't know, I'm not working anymore, I'm retired. The only problem that I have, that every morning I have a long list of things to do. However, I have the right to veto. So, as long as I have that, I'm okay. But brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to be here again. I'm so happy that John allowed me to stay here this morning. It was his turn. I feel useful again. It's terrible to be retired. I want to be more busy. The problem is that sometimes I start preparing a topic. I used to write about 10 pages, and now the same topic, about 30 pages. I had too much time. So, and then you cannot use all of them. But it's good to be studying. But it's good to do other things as well. So, brothers and sisters, again, our Father wants to grow as Yeshua, physically. Not because we're old, not because we stop growing up in a stature, doesn't mean that physically we don't have responsibility. We have a temple to take care, to keep clean. We have a social life where we need to express what we have learned, and that is our new culture, new religion, our way of life, our marriage, our family, our children, grandchildren, friends, they need to see that we know the Lord. Emotionally, we need to show who we are, and also in the way we think. God wants us to be a winner, victorious, not victim. not abusive individual. They want us to be prosperous, but we need to believe that. We need to act that way. Let me tell you a couple of things. Remember about 3 or 4 years ago, Donald Trump filed for bankruptcy? And next year he was in the top 500 again? How did he do that? Have you noticed, for instance, in Florida, what happened? Cuban came and bought something I'm not going to mention, swim. It's a joke, but they swim. Well, they came over with nothing, with nothing. 5 years later, they were the mayor of Miami. They were the governor of Miami, of Florida. They took over. There are few Americans there. When I go over there, I start looking around because I might see Castro any moment. Why those people that came from Cuba with nothing, they become so successful in less than a generation? Because in Cuba, they were winners. So even they have nothing, they jump and they were winner. And you see other people from other countries. They're very poor in other countries. They come over here and what happened? They continue to be poor. They don't have another goal, just surviving. That's the part that we need to know. That if we jump into a new culture, a new language, we know Hebrew. We start learning Hebrew. We have a new language. Maybe some people, they come for the first time and said, what is that? Well, it's a new language. It's heaven language. We have a new meaning. We can learn new culture, new values. We can help each other. There's nothing that we cannot do together. So when we go back to John 3:7 and said, Yeshua, you need to be born again, let's reevaluate our life. But we can do it again. Let's do an inventory and let's build our social life, physical life, emotional life, and spiritual life at the image of God again. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless you, because you left us the Holy Scripture to follow all the instruction so we can be a happy children of your kingdom. Bless each one of us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.